You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Live 365, and on the TBFS Radio Network. This top-ranked business radio broadcast features the obstacles and challenges that business owners endure on the road to success. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. TBFS Radio Network. Kevin Hunter and Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show. And for those of you that are about to engage in a contract of some sort, we're going to talk about what the basics are and what considerations go into that. So let's start by providing that outline, and then we'll drill down into each of those pieces.
Sure. Well, you know, Kevin, you know, contract law is the building block of business transactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, you know, a small transaction, large transaction between individuals, between businesses, contracts are kind of the key. You know, my very first class in law school was contract law, and to me that's kind of symbolic. That's where it all starts.
Right.
So we're going to talk about the basics of contract formation, terms like offer and acceptance and mirror image rules and counteroffer. We'll talk about consideration. You hear about consideration needed to make a contract binding. And then we'll get into a little bit about, you know, the importance of having it in writing and some alternatives if it's not. You know, there's certain contracts that a statute of frauds requires they be in writing, and if not, then we have to rely on a theory such as, say, promissory estoppel as a way to enforce somebody's obligations into an agreement that induced somebody to act.
Now, one of the things when you mention about offer acceptance, the mirror image consideration, let's define each of those, and then I want to throw a couple of scenarios at you, because here in Minnesota we are a contract law state, correct?
Correct.
And when you have a contract law state, there are situations where state guidelines, let's take the building example for the building industry rather as an example, where they may say, the state guideline may say you can't charge more than $200 for a change order on a contract. But if you write into your contract that your change order fee is $1,000 and you have the customer initial that they are agreeing to pay that, and it's part of the contract and consideration gets made in that whole piece, they have just signed on to increase whatever the state said the $200 may have been, correct?
That's a good point. You know, there's a lot of, you know, contracts can be varied. So, you know, there's some statutes out there that say unless otherwise provided in the contract, this applies. So you're right. You can alter some of the statutory default provisions in a contract. I'll give you an example where the contrary position where you can't alter it in the beer distribution statute. They have provisions in there about you can only terminate a brewery can only terminate a distributor for cause, and cause is defined in the statute. And the statute explicitly says that a contract cannot override that statute. So there's an example of the idea behind the contract, those kinds of provisions and statutes, is two parties with similarly equal bargaining power have the ability to make their own deal.
Sure.
Right? You know, you have a lot of statutes that may protect one party over another, but if both parties, you know, conceivably are represented by attorneys, negotiating this back and forth, you know, they're allowed to make their own deal, good or bad. There's, you know, the beer distribution law is an example of public policy deciding that one party has more leverage than the other, so they aren't going to allow that to happen.
Sure.
Okay. But you know, the basic contract stuff. You know, someone makes an offer. You know, I'll buy your car for $100, or I'll do this job. I'll paint your house for $200, or something like that. And let's use that as an example. Someone comes back and says, "Okay, there we have offer and acceptance." Now we talk about the mirror image rule, meaning that the acceptance must be of the original offer proposed. You can't say, "I'll paint your house for $200." And
then I say, okay, but I also want you to do the gutters.
Right, yeah.
I've just made a counteroffer instead of acceptance.
Exactly, or okay, but I want you to power wash it too. That's a counteroffer, not an acceptance of the original offer. Okay, so and that's where you get into the negotiations. Where do you have a completed contract with this back and forth in negotiations. And then we get into consideration, which is an interesting concept. You know, if anybody that's seen a legal document or a contract, and you see this language, for $1 and other good and valuable consideration, the receipt and sufficiency of which is hereby acknowledged. That's lawyer speak needed to satisfy this consideration element.
Mm-hmm.
The law requires that there be consideration for it to have a valid binding contract,
mm-hmm.
but the law doesn't question the sufficiency of the consideration. In there's some limited exceptions to that. For example, like in the real estate context with options to purchase. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If there's an issue option, if there's a dispute arising among a real estate option, it ends up in court. A court will look at what kind of option fee was paid based on the value of the property
mm-hmm.
that's subject to the option. But by and large, the courts don't look at the sufficiency of the consideration. One of my professors said it was a peppercorn theory. You could have a peppercorn as consideration, and that was enough to have a binding contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a significantly high bar to reach, but it's a bar that nonetheless has to be reached.
Mm-hmm. So in a contract, and what constitutes a contract is when an offer is made, acceptance has been made,
mm-hmm.
and there's consideration. There's something of value that's been exchanged
mm-hmm.
that signifies that, yes, indeed, an offer was made, acceptance was made, and something was exchanged, something that's determined to be of value to the two parties.
Correct.
When we talk about consideration, or rather, I want to back up just a minute. So now, that can actually happen verbally. It's best if it's written. But give an example where, like, a verbal contract can actually occur and be enforceable in court.
Well, verbal contracts generally are enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
There's a statute. Every state has one. Minnesota has one. It's called the Statute of Frauds.
Mm-hmm.
And it specifies certain types of transactions where the contract has to be in writing in order for one party or the other to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Contracts that can't be performed within a year.
Mm-hmm.
are examples of one that has to be in writing. So if you have, say, a consulting agreement with a 24-month commitment,
mm-hmm.
that has to be in writing to be enforceable. Something happens, someone goes to try claims a breach and tries to enforce it, a court's going to look at whether or not it's in writing. There are some exceptions to that. There are ways to deal with that. If we look at equitable remedies, one party shouldn't be able to benefit from someone's efforts, you
mm-hmm.
know, induce them to do something by promising to do something and then not do it. So we talk about promissory estoppel, justifiable reliance, where courts can order, you know, kids to find, based on equity, that there should be found a contract that should be enforced. Performance. One party performs, that's evidence of a contract. So
mm-hmm.
there are alternatives, but the best rule is always get your contract reduced to writing.
Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show talking about contracts and what constitutes one. And make sure you're always looking at what you're signing, because you could be signing on to something that could, in some cases, actually override what the statute may say.
That's right.
As a benefit. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show. Thanks for listening.
I wish I had a steady job as an employee. As a business owner, I've heard myself saying that before. We opened our business and we were on our way to living the American dream. Soon afterwards, I found myself working 75 hours a week and losing tons of money. What kind of mom was I to our three young children? Fortunately, I found Action Coach Metro-North. We were able to reduce my hours in half and increase our revenue by 252% after working with my coach. If a mom like me can do it with the help of an Action Coach, why can't you?
Reclaim your life and business and go to freeactionplan.com. Let Action Coach proven system put you on a path to achieve your goals. Kick the habit of business as usual. Go to freeactionplan.com today and schedule a free action plan session. That's freeactionplan.com. Get into action today. Let Action Coach business coaching help you. freeactionplan.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter in the Business Forum Show. I'd like to take just a moment to address those businesses who are spending thousands of dollars on some of the tried and true marketing models out there today. Some time ago, we conducted a marketing matrix on some of the common tools used by businesses to market their products and services. We picked on the top three to illustrate the problem in marketing today. Number one was flyers and mailers. 40,000 were sent out. The expense was almost $18,000. 13 customers responded with a 0.03% response rate. How about direct mail? 1,900 letters sent out. 4 customers responded, a 0.2% response rate. And last of all, postcards. Everybody's heard about how great postcards are and how much better the response rates are. Well, that would be correct. However, the results aren't going to exactly blow your hat off. 2,500 postcards sent out. 17 customers respond, a 0.68% response rate. Now, in a moment, you're going to hear the audio files from video emails sent out to customers. Video email just like this were sent out to clients right here on the Business Forum show. Listen to these clips, and I'll share with you what the result was.
Hi, Christine. This is Miranda from Avalon Salon. I have Barry here. He'll be ready for 5 o'clock dinner. He looks great.
Hey, Jill. Happy 39th birthday from the crew at Conte Pizzeria.
Again.
Hi, Lisa. This is Marshall at Cottage Quilts and Fabrics in Elk River, Minnesota. Just letting you know that your quilt is finished and ready for you to pick up at your earliest convenience. And I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thank you very much.
Hi, Bill and Jen. This is Chris from RB's Computer Service. I just got finished with your system. It's just a virus. We got it cleaned up for you. It's all ready to go, so you can pick it up at any time.
Hi, this is Dr. Kim Gallenberg, Barrington Oaks Veterinary Hospital. And here's Nellie saying, have a great vacation and can't wait till you get home. Bye.
A video message just like the ones you heard were sent out to clients and listeners of the Business Forum Show. We've typically had a much better response than most organizations might in emailing customers because we're a media organization. And I'm very proud to say that a common email that we'd send out would get anywhere from a 30 to 35% response. Now, these are people who either called us, emailed us back, or stopped by to say hi. 500 video emails sent out. A whopping 370 responded. A 74% response rate. Did you just hear what I said? A 74% response rate. I wouldn't wait another day to get your company on board with this revolutionary product launched on TalkFusion Connect platform and gain access to the other 9 dynamic tools that we haven't even talked about. If you have any questions about how you can put this tool to use in your business today, please email me now at kevinhuntertbfs@gmail.com. Again, that's kevinhuntertbfs@gmail.com. I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show. Stay tuned for the rest of the show. You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Life 365, and on the TBFS Radio Network. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.